your bulletin, please join me for the prayer for illumination. God of wisdom and truth, open us to the wonder of your word and the insights it may provide for us into the world you have so lovingly created and lovingly cared for. Amen. The first reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Our hymn is There Is a Balm in Gilead in the Blue Book, Big Blue, number 394.
Our gospel lesson today is from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out with her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was interested to find when I started looking into this passage that this was the very first passage that I preached on to you all. As I was preparing and studying, I noticed that this, in 2013, was the passage for October 20th, which was my first Sunday here. And that means that I have been here now almost through three cycles of the lectionary over 3 years. Today's actually the 16th, of course, but this week marks 3 years of our partnership together. And this is the longest that I have served in a congregation due to my previous work as interim and stated supply, which are usually kind of temporary situations. And I'm really pleased to still be here, to be in a longer-term situation, to see you all grow in faith, to see the children grow and change, and to have a chance to really build relationships with you. I'm still really having a good time, and I hope that you all are too. Before I came here, as I said, I spent a lot of time in temporary situations, and when I wasn't in one of those temporary situations, I did a lot of pulpit supply. I was in and out of a lot of churches in East Tennessee, which was really fun in a way, because I got to see all of these different churches and meet all of these different people. But even though being a pulpit supply and doing these temporary situations is a great way to keep your skills up, it doesn't really pay the bills. And I always hoped and prayed for something more permanent. And God and I spent a lot of time talking about this. Sometimes I talked and God listened. And perhaps less often, God talked and I listened. Evidently, God's intention for me at the time was for our family to be settled for a while the kids finished school and got their start in life, which they have done. And I won't say that it was easy, because after feeling God's call to ministry and to seminary so strongly, it was frustrating not to be able to fulfill that call in the way that I understood it. Fortunately, I have a supportive spouse in Jeff who encouraged me in times when I just couldn't understand why things weren't going the way I wanted or expected them to go. But even as discouraged as I became sometimes, I never lost that sense of call, and neither did I give up believing that God was with me. Sometimes God seemed awfully distant and silent, but I think that was more to do with my not listening on my part that I mentioned before. And so I persisted praying and being open to the Spirit, even when I didn't want to be. And here I am, preaching once again on the persistence, on the importance of persistence in prayer, just like I did on my first Sunday, I even went back and looked at my sermon from that day. And yes, I preached on this passage, the importance of persistence in prayer. Now, I tell you this story not to elicit sympathy from you all, but to share that part of my faith journey with you all and to show that our journeys do continue through our lives with all kinds of ins and outs and ups and downs, and that as people of faith, we always have to have hope for the future. Because of these changes that happen in life, Jesus always encouraged his followers to have faith and to pray, to spend time with God. And indeed, Jesus often went off by himself to pray. And maybe sometimes he took one or two disciples, but he did that a lot, if you notice, in the Gospels. So it isn't surprising that he would teach a parable about persistence in prayer. Now, the parable itself is pretty short. Only 4 out of 8 verses are used in actually telling the story. It's the story of an unjust judge who feared neither God nor people, and a widow who had been wronged. For whatever reason, the judge refused to hear her case, but the widow didn't give up. In fact, she dogged him at every turn, demanding justice over and over until the judge decided to grant her plea, if only to get rid of her. It's a pretty simple story. But if we look at the commentary that surrounds it, it becomes a little more interesting. First of all, the story is introduced as a parable about the need to pray always and to not lose heart. To put this in context, we go back to chapter 17, where towards the end, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God is coming. Of course, this was another one of their ways they wanted to trick or trap Jesus. And the response that he gave must have been less than satisfying, to say the least. There would be no big event that would mark the beginning. But rather, the kingdom of God, said Jesus, had already come among them. He then goes on to predict his suffering and rejection, to compare the fate of the present generation to Sodom, and to warn the people against trying to protect themselves from what was to come. Not a very encouraging scenario, right? So it must have seemed like a good time for a little positivity. And Jesus tells this parable to teach that persistence in prayer is not only effective, but important in keeping the faith alive. No one was to know when the kingdom of God would come. And so, in persistence in prayer and keeping the faith and keeping the hope was going to be of vast importance. Because we all know that even though Jesus said that the kingdom was already among them, and we believe that we live in kingdom times as well, it's very evident that the kingdom has not come to fruition. It's the already, not yet condition of life that sometimes makes it so hard. We know that Jesus has already come, so we're already living in kingdom times. But we know also that Jesus has not returned, and so it's not yet quite here. And it can be hard. I mean, how hard is it to believe that the kingdom of God is among us when there's so much violence in the world? When religious leaders in our country are willing to support any candidate as long as they gain political power by doing so? When heroin abuse and addiction draw in so many people? When there is so much hopelessness and depression and poverty and other ills plaguing the world that we live in? How hard is it sometimes to believe that the kingdom of God is at hand? But this is what Jeremiah was preaching about in our Old Testament text for today. The people were in exile. There was seemingly no hope. And yet Jeremiah was encouraging them to stay hopeful, even in exile. He instructed them to put down roots in Babylon, to build houses, to set up businesses, and to even seek the welfare of their captors, the Babylonians, and pray for them. Instead of calling for despair, Jeremiah was calling for the people in exile to make the best of things, to seek the good even in the midst of what to Israel and Judah was a national tragedy. Pray always and do not lose heart. Such a powerful message for people in exile. Such a powerful message for those of us who are still waiting for the kingdom of God to come to fruition. We are in the midst of asking ourselves as a congregation, what is it we hope for the future? In fact, one of the interview questions was just that, what do we hope for? Our answers might be things like more members or a larger and more stable budget. But when we look around our neighborhoods and communities, and when we think about decline in church attendance and religious practice, where else might we direct our hope and prayer besides ourselves? That's the question that we need to be asking. Because it can be difficult to continue to be hopeful and faithful in times like these. It can become easy to turn inward and to focus on our own friends and families and congregations and selves and let the world take care of itself. We can easily become discouraged, dispirited, frightened even. But when we hear the words of Jeremiah, we know we need to plant ourselves firmly in the world, even if we're not of the world. When we hear the words of Jesus, we know that we need to pray always and not lose heart. We know from these two passages and many others that God is always with us, loving us and caring for us. And we need to share that belief with the rest of the world. At the end of the gospel passage, after telling the parable of the resistant judge, Jesus says this, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." God will build and plant new life among us. Our part is to pray always and to not lose heart. Amen. Now, in conjunction with this sermon, we have an activity to do, a spiritual activity. And here's what we're going to do. In the theme of praying always and not losing heart and not losing hope, we're going to plant some hope. I have wooden sticks right here and markers. And over here, we have some boxes of dirt and we have bulbs. What I'd like for you to do is come forward, write something on here that you hope for yourself or for the congregation. Bring it to the dirt. There are some spoons here. Make a hole. Plant your bulb. Make sure to plant it the pointy side up. And then plant your hope stick in the dirt. And then at the end, there are wipes that you can wipe off your hands with. And then we will put these out in the hallway by the windows where it's bright and sunny. And we will watch our hope grow. So let us come forth and share our hope together.